right, so he flaked on us last week. Last minute. Pisses Lucas off. And then he doubles down. Lucas, I'm going to portray some confidences right off the top because Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. You want to tell Will why you got beef with him?
Well, I was concerned, Will. I was slightly concerned that the bus was descending upon Cool Beans, my watering hole when I was in college, because I was worried about the hordes that were going to descend upon Cool Beans with you guys at my favorite place in Knoxville. It wasn't as bad as I thought, and it was going to be busy anyway, so I got my Cool Beans in early on in the day, and I saw the bus parked out there. But when I did walk by, I saw a bunch of valuable, expensive equipment in there, and the bus was open. So I'm just making sure nobody stepped in there and stole anything.
Oh, the bus was unattended to.
Yeah,
so basically, Lucas is trying to rat out my boys.
That's right. He's trying to say that your security was lacking.
And off of you, the flaking and making Lucas mad, if he wants me to tell you ahead of time about canceling, he better start sending me the link ahead of time and not waiting for me to ask you 10 minutes before we start what the Zoom link is.
Well, it's the same.
If he wants me to hold up my end, he's going to be accountable and he's going to hold a business because he's got my number too. And I know I'm ranting right now and he better not cut me off because I hear I hear Lucas is down to cut people off when they're going on rants and going off on a tangent.
State run media.
But I'm just saying, don't be one way and act the other, dude.
Well, it's the same link. It's the same link every time.
Oh, yeah. No, all of this ignores the fact that Will Compton insists on having it texted to him instead of just scrolling up to the last time that I texted it to him and hitting it himself. But that's a different conversation for another day.
I need an email to me is what I need.
Well, now it will be emailed to you, Princess. It's okay. He's presented by All American Pest Control. Plans as low as $39. Visit yuckbugs.com. So how was your journey to Knoxville?
It was awesome, man. It was an incredible time. The energy there is all time. I mean, in the stadium at Cool Beans before the pregame, like it is a college town. Like Knoxville's a city, but that place is a full on college town. You can barely move. That was kind of tough and frustrating at times, but I get it. It's because fans flock from everywhere and they love the Tennessee Vols. And obviously Kiffin was in town, but even the game atmosphere was electric. Over 100,000 plus screaming. It was tough on the old ears, but it was a great weekend.
So obviously the whole Barstool contingent descended upon Knoxville. And in fact, Portnoy and Big Cat and all of them are going to Indiana, my alma mater, this weekend because they're hosting Ohio State. So it'll be interesting to see how that played out, but or how that plays out. But well, yeah, it's gonna be a fat L for Indiana, unfortunately. It's just godforsaken at this point in my life.
It's gonna be like old Buck Rising on the press box food. That's what it's gonna be like.
Easy. Listen, I tried to be healthy today. I ordered a very healthy lunch, and then somebody texted me and said, "Oh, we have just boxes of Hattie B's downstairs for you and Lucas whenever you're done." I'm trying. I'm being sabotaged. This is an inevitability when it comes to radio. Anyway, so. What does it compare to? Because we've had this conversation before about where Nebraska is in the world of college football, how they stack up against a fan base like Tennessee. There's a lot of parallels to be drawn. And in fact, your own staff, there was derision among your own staff because you didn't believe that they could sell as many Vols t-shirts for Bussin' with the Boys swag as you could Nebraska. Is it similar in its environment in Knoxville as it is at Nebraska?
Oh, very much so. I'd say just a step below. Jack sitting on the bus, so I always got to try and chirp him.
The man of the people, Jack.
But no, it really is incredible, man. I feel like it's like a bucket list game. You got to go to one of the big games in Tennessee. I feel like I was at the right atmosphere with Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin coming into town. But it was very similar, dude. The weekend before I was in Nebraska versus Michigan, they're both night games. They both have their little light shows. The crowds are unbelievably passionate. But yeah, it stacks. They both stack up. And as far as the shirts go, yeah, Tennessee Vol fans crush it. They're right there with Michigan fans. Now, it's unfair just because I went to Nebraska. So obviously we have a lot more support with Nebraska fans because Nebraska has outperformed all of them combined. But Tennessee is probably the biggest surprise because I didn't even think about making a Tennessee Vol shirt and they're already about to pass Michigan, which I hope they do just to rub it in that the other 50% of this show is a Michigan alum and we have our own local Tennessee Vols, not even local, beating them.
It just means more in the SEC, or at least that's what they keep telling me. Will Compton of Bussin' with the Boys here with us on 104.5 The Zone. The new episode features Brandon Walker and Barstool Big Cat of Barstool Sports. Well, not live from Knoxville, but at Cool Beans in Knoxville, where, of course, the bus made its latest journey. So give us your perspective, because you were on the sideline for that whole game, right? What were you down there when things went straight to hell with like 54 seconds left after Tennessee didn't convert the 4th and 27, or had you absconded by that time?
Yeah, I took a couple to the head, man. I was gone, dude. I left a little bit into the second quarter. We drove home. I drove home that night, so I just played it. I was playing it on my YouTube TV. I wasn't watching it. I was playing it on my way home and was listening to all of it. And it seemed absolutely bananas, dude, that people are throwing like mustard bottles and golf balls and stuff trying to hit Lane Kiffin. We had a couple of our guys, Garrett and Jack, were there the whole game, so they could probably have some insight on it.
No,
I was not there. I was not there during the madness.
No, I know. Garrett has accused Lucas. So we have inner producer feud, which delights me. Garrett has accused Lucas of being a tyrant on the board. Lucas, do you want to give Garrett some smoke? Do you want to take this? He's eating a chicken sandwich, as we talked about the boxes of Hannah Beast.
What's the drama? What's the deal?
Lucas, finish what's in your mouth. We're trying to do a live radio show. Don't tell me to
hang easy, on. Buck. Don't tell him to finish what's in his mouth.
Relax. He just told him we're on FCC air, Luke. Will, get the hell away from that. It's not like we're doing a live radio show. What the hell are you doing? Could you not wait 10 minutes to eat the chicken sandwich?
Yeah, look, the beef was that I allegedly cut somebody off on the air talking about the Vols. I don't remember which caller he was talking about, but anytime somebody makes their point, and we love all of our callers on the Buck Rising show.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody makes their point and then continues to ramble on without furthering the point for about 45 to 60 seconds, they're going to be faded into the abyss. This is consistent for every caller.
Is that true, Buck? Or do you feel like he was a little bit of a coward cutting him off?
So I accused him of being a coward publicly, and then Garrett was very quick to screenshot my criticism and send it to Lucas and tell him that, one, that to tell Lucas that his boss was calling him a coward, which delights me to think that I'm Lucas's boss. But I will say,
couldn't be further from the truth.
Debatable. I would say to you that this is a new feature.
You can tell Lucas is riled up because he keeps grabbing the mic. I see he's ready to go over there.
Oh yeah, no, he's very, very angsty at this point. It much like he gets when somebody criticizes the University of Tennessee. He's a blatant homer. I've been accusing him of this for the 7 months that the show has been on the air, so I'm on Garrett's side on this. I'm sorry.
You call me a homer because you know it gets a rise out of me.
We got Garrett here. If you want Garrett to chime in, Buck, I have Garrett. He could say his side of it.
I have criticized the University of Tennessee more than anybody on this show.
Well, we can put Garrett on the air, but I know he's an Alabama fan, and the entire listenership may riot if he starts to throws bombs at Tennessee fans. But if he's got a mic ready, then I'm prepared to delve into the sewers with him. Is Garrett there?
He's here. G, do you want to jump here on?
Oh. All right. Yeah, look, I didn't mean any harm by it.
It's
I'm a huge
true
fan. I listen every day.
But just
listen. I listen every
true
day. And
avid listener.
When I heard Buck even ask, oh, why'd you cut him off? That's when I had to go to Twitter, you know, make it public. Lucas, I'm sorry Buck didn't help you out there and just piled on.
He never does.
Yeah, it's okay. But look. No need to get defensive. It's okay. I understand now.
But Alabama fan, Lucas.
Are you
going to
do the same thing when I call in after this?
He already did it. Garrett has no idea. He just got faded out.
You're back up, Garrett.
Oh, damn. You cut him off. Hey, all I know is he said, is that what he's going to do when Garrett calls in after this Saturday when Alabama drags Tennessee?
Lucas isn't even going to watch the game. He's going to a Chris Stapleton concert because he's scared of what may happen.
I'm going to watch the game when it's close in like the first 5 minutes of the first quarter. It's timed out perfectly for me.
All right.
When they run out of the tunnel?
Maybe the first drive.
Yeah, just make sure you bring a mustard bottle and some golf balls, and we'll see if we can't recreate some Tennessee environments. All right. Let's talk about this Monday night football game, because I know the bus was at Acme. I know the boys were lit. I know that it was a great time had by all. Tell me what it's like to be on one of those goal line stop situations, Will, because you've been on that defense. You've been in those situations. You've been behind Big Jeff when he does Big Jeff things. in your in the best way possible, or in the easiest way possible, describe to the audience what that experience is like.
It's unreal. When you make a big play, especially on fourth down, like the juices just flow. That's, you know, I know where, you know, it's just the energy's all time.
Sure.
I saw Kevin Byard. You guys were talking about it being a movie. I agree with that. It's just one of the best feelings in the world, especially, you know, last year, the old boy, he recovered a fumble on the goal line.
I gave you credit, Detroit. I remember.
Yeah, I couldn't feel my arms and legs. That's how excited you get. But it's truly awesome. And for those dudes, they did it on a game winner. I can only imagine the energy. Being there, it was awesome. I'm screaming my head off up in the box. It was awesome to see the boys bounce back. The boys are rolling. The question is, are the boys back? We were 0-16 a few weeks ago, Buck.
Oh, God.
Everybody's feeling good now.
Stop it.
Shout out to day ones. Shout out the boys who are rolling with us since week one.
No.
Because there are some out there. There's a loyal audience out there.
Listen.
Not you. Not you.
Listen.
Not you. Not a lot of fans out there that were dragging the boys after week one. Week two. They get a little scared. They get a little soft. They get a little frightened. They want to vomit their toxicity on freaking social media. Not us. Not us at the bus.
No.
We're 4-2 now. Everybody's shouting their praise.
All right. You and the bus, and I'm very happy for you and all of your blindly loyal followers. Very, very happy.
Blind.
For you to live
in. What are you talking about?
For you to live in ignorance.
We're 4-2 now, bud.
It's just fine.
They trusted it.
It's fine. Trust the process. Blah, 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 blah. But I was also there in East Rutherford when they pooped down their legs against the New York Jets. Don't tell me that there wasn't reasons for me to be critical. I understand that I have a role and that you have a role. Just don't get the roles confused, buddy, because we're not on the same side of the fence on this one.
I know you're on the side that's against the boys. That's the side of the fence you're on. I've been in the meeting rooms. I've been inside those walls,
oh,
dude.
My God. Shut
up. It's locked the doors. It's locked the doors. Focus in. Dial it in, boys. Our back's against the wall. No one's room for us right now.
I was cracking up watching Mike Vrabel because they put out it's sponsored content now. Mike Vrabel's very, very sanitized post-game victory speech. It's a totally different world when you go out there, because you're right, 4-2, it felt like the world was ending after the New York Jets. I don't dispute that, and I'm a part of the, you know, the
You're a pioneer in it. You're not a part.
That's it. Yeah, I'm a pioneer in all of the hate and all of the skepticism regarding the Tennessee Titans. God forbid that I do my job. But I was laughing out loud because I got a DM. Will, I don't know if you saw this. I'm going to pull it up to read on the air for the audience, because I got a DM that accused me of being so anti-Titans that all of the Titans fans are seeing through my fake facade, that now is not the time for me to jump on the bandwagon, even though I said it was their best performance of the year. It's one of the best games that I've seen them play in my career covering the Tennessee Titans. No, the praise after the way that they performed was not good enough. I had to be diehard, blindly loyal before that, when in fact, that's not what I do. So that's on them.
Yeah. You know, just to help you out, just to reel it in a little bit and to help you out, I do think you're one of the you're one of the better ones out there as far as like rooting for the boys. We know of guys, we know of people in your industry that truly want things to fail, the ship to burn. You're not one of them.
Well, and
sir, to say that's the best performance you've ever seen, I think.
No, not that I've ever seen
that off.
Not that I've ever seen.
I think you could say maybe offensively. I like, you know, the boys still, you know, they still got stuff to correct. But
no, they're not.
Chevy Silverado was out there rolling.
Oh my God, relax. Yeah, Derek. Okay, wait. So let's talk about Derek quickly before I get upset. Derek is unbelievable. He's on a historic pace. He is. We're leading the campaign, as I'm sure you guys are, for him as an MVP, a legitimate MVP candidate, not just one of these write-ins that they put in with all the other quarterbacks when nobody's actually watching Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans until it comes playoff time. He is unlike anything that I've ever seen in my life, Will, and I remember having you and Corey Levin on the 615 on the podcast. You guys came to the house. It was a very, very funny experience, interaction. but we talked about kind of the mindset that Derrick had early on, before he became the full-time starter, and how that was at the time when he just started to blossom into what the hell he is at this point, which is bigger, badder, meaner, tougher than a sport full of insane people who do the exact same thing. What have you made of Derrick Henry this year?
Man, the dude's like everybody, the whispers are starting, the hall, you know, we're watching a Hall of Famer, we're watching greatness. It's kind of like you're witnessing LeBron James in the NBA, right? Like you just want to appreciate what you're watching. The dude is, he's a horse, man. And, you know, I don't want to say, like, it's hard. I want to continue to give the praise, but it's like I want to knock on wood because, number one, I want to keep it rolling because he's on my fantasy team, the Bonterra Biscuits. Shout out the boys. But, dude, he's incredible, man. And he's about that life 24/7. In the offseason, like, there's no fake about what you see with Derrick Henry. He's practicing all the time. Now, I'm not with the team this year, but when I've been on the team, the dude rarely takes days off. I know he gets some veteran days and some stuff now because everybody realizes, like, what he can do and who he is. But the dude's all-time, man, and his work ethic matches his performance on the field. He's not somebody who's just that genetically gifted. He is, but he also puts the work behind it. So it's very, like, it's really cool to see someone with that kind of talent have the work ethic that matches it.
It was funny because there's after Jeff makes the goal line stop, there's a video of the two of them on the sideline and they're dapping up, they're chest bumping, and it looks like Godzilla versus King Kong. Like, that's what I think of when I see those two standing next to each other, because Jeff's 6'4", what, 305, but Derek is also 6'4" and probably 250. I would say he's probably just a little under 250, but he is so unprecedented physically, and it's not just that he's beating you down for three quarters. It's that he breaks a 76-yarder, and he's pulling away from the secondary. I mean, the precedent is...
22 miles an hour, right?
I mean, he's the fastest player in the NFL this year. It's the fastest ball carrier in the NFL this year, nearly 22 miles an hour. That's the speed that Olympic sprinters run at, and this is an NFL running back in year six of his career. Adrian Peterson is the only thing that I've ever seen like him, Will, and I don't know, at playing against guys in the league and seeing a bunch of different running backs as a linebacker across almost a decade, what you would look at him and say there's any kind of precedent for.
Yeah, he's kind of like his own dude, because you can say like the Adrian Peterson stuff, but even AP, he had his own unique ability as far as how angry he was when he was running. They're both kind of different, but I feel like AP is a good comparison, but there's just not, Derek's kind of his own back, dude. It's really cool to watch. And we do, like, everybody listening, we have to continue to make Derrick Henry our loudest voice, because this league wants quarterbacks to be the MVP. It just usually by default, if you don't know what's going on, you write a quarterback's name down. And Derek is truly should be the front runner for the MVP right now. And we have to pioneer this message and vomit it wherever we can. Buck will lead the way. I'll lead the way. But we have to get Derek. As long as this man keeps going the way he is, he needs to be the MVP at the end of the season.
You know what helps that? National television, because local guys, I don't have an MVP vote. There's 50 MVP voters.
How does that work?
So there's 50 MVP voters in the NFL. They're people on national broadcast crews or that work for the television networks. Troy Aikman is an MVP voter. Peter King is an MVP voter. Albert Breer is an MVP voter. Like, Adam Schefter is an MVP voter. These guys at the top.
Do you have a list?
A list of the voters? No, but yeah, I could probably find all 50 if I set about it.
I'm not a voter. How Bustin' with the Boys doesn't have a vote. But if you get me that list, we can underground. Like, we can get this stuff rolling. We can put some campaigns together now because they all have Twitter handles.
Well, this is basically what we're going to do is we're going to peer pressure people into voting for Derrick Henry for MVP.
No, we're just going to show people the highlights and make sure this being that we are witnessing is nationally. If it's not televised, it's on a national stage each and every day.
Here's what I'll say about Derrick Henry, and that I don't have to tell people in Nashville that are listening to this, and that's primarily where our audience is. But if you're not watching the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry right now, it's on you. I mean, it's entirely on you, because you're missing something that has no real precedent in all of the NFL. And to see him do it, Will, and we got to get out of here, but to see him do it in front of a full house, it's the first time I've seen Nissan Stadium full in my life. In my life, I've never seen that stadium look
like that. Yeah, and that fires me up. But also, like, shout out to Bills fans who showed up and helped fill the stadium a little bit. I know Acme, we had a lot of Bills fans there, too. They travel well, but the crowd was electric. It was good to hear all. It was good to hear our crowd at the end of the night, because at the beginning, I was a little like, you know, I almost said they almost cursed. But it was like, what was going on, boys?
Well, listen, the best part of this is normally the Bills fans are in the lower bowl, and this year they were relegated to 300 level.
And people who aren't watching, yes, what are you doing with your life? Because you are missing out. Because another thing, yes, we're witnessing Derrick Henry, but watching the offense block for Derrick Henry, it's like everyone has ownership in that running game, dude. And the O-line has a lot of pride. The receivers have a lot of pride. Everyone wants this thing to happen, so it's a lot of fun to watch.
And we're happy to hear that Taylor Lewan is doing much better, of course. Obviously, we didn't mention that. I'm not going to ask Will questions about Taylor's health at this point, but
thank you, Buck.
Well, listen, at this point, you know, I all I do is assist. That's all I do. And instead you choose to ruin my radio show on a regular basis, but that's why we have the symbiotic relationship that we do. So we're happy to see that Taylor is back up and functioning. If he remains in the concussion protocol, we'll find out from Mike Vrabel today. Will Compton, Bussin' with the Boys, new episode out with Big Cat and Brandon Walker of Barstool Sports down there on the bus in Knoxville ahead of the Tennessee Ole Miss game. It's well worth your time. The YouTube episode debuts tonight at 6 p.m. on the Bussin' with the Boys YouTube channel. And if you're a Vols fan, they got merch for you, too. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Buck. I love you.
Get the hell out of here. That's way too close. I don't like that kind of intimacy, other than Lucas whispering sweet nothings into my ear during the commercial break. When we come back, polls, we'll wrap the show.